Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185 is the number. ulagency.org is the website. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars on the first Friday of each and every month. We link up with Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. And we got a lot to catch up on today. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. How's your summer going so far, buddy?
It's going great. Enjoying the heat, enjoying the humidity, getting some pool time. So it's been really nice. It's been really nice.
Yeah, a pool sounds good after a hot day working on a construction site, huh?
Yeah, you're right. An easy way to cool off. That's
right. No doubt about that. Hey, I want to talk about this Cranes report. I mentioned a big chunk of it before we joined you here on the broadcast in the opening part of the show. And it just goes to show you the importance of the union advantage. And this was a study, those of you joining us right now, it was done by the Economic Policy Institute. Great think tank here. It's EPI.org. And it pretty much shows that African Americans have made big gains in the unionized sector of the construction industry. And if you're not union, you're not doing that. And there's a good example, Hispanics, in which they make up a lot of the non-union sector of construction, they're far from getting the pay what they get in the union sector, and they get screwed on the benefits, many of them not even getting health care. So you get a chance to take a look at some of these details here, Dorsey?
I did, and I thought it was an interesting study, and two things that came out of it to me that I kind of relate to on a local level is one, we'll talk about the African-American part of the study, is you know, for a long time here in Columbus and Central Ohio, even before I was head of the building trades, we have had a concerted effort, and we've really ramped up efforts as well to reach out to the minority and African-American community in Columbus and Central Ohio to try to show them and give them the opportunity to get into our programs. We've done that with community outreach. We've done it with community roundtables, you know, just sitting around with groups to be able to answer questions about the building trades programs, what they do, what they entail, what's some good prerequisite classes to take to be able to test in and to be successful, how our apprenticeship programs work, you know, just all that stuff. Another thing that we've been doing in our community roundtables is meeting with the Black Ministerial Alliance, because obviously in a lot of those neighborhoods and communities, you know, the church is very important, and a lot of the young men who maybe might come from a single parent home, their biggest relationship is with their pastor or their minister. So we've been reaching out to them as well to do a good job of recruitment, to try to help, you know, the African American community and some of their members get into our programs for a path to the middle class. And a huge success story that I'll tell you right now, dealing with the apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship program, is Steve Lipster with IBEW 683 had a pre-apprenticeship program last summer where he took in some kids and they take some basic classes, you know, OSHA 10, some hand tool stuff, some mm-hmm. basic electrical stuff, and they place them with an employer. And if the employer, you know, likes them, or if they're a good employee or whatever, then they get direct entry right into the apprenticeship program. And I was at a community event over the July 4th weekend, and I got the idea, I got the opportunity to sit down and talk to a young man named Christian. I won't mention his last name on the air, but young African-American gentleman, great student, hard worker, you know, didn't go to college, but still needed an opportunity. And he went to that pre-apprenticeship program, was overwhelmed how challenging the curriculum was and everything, but he did well. He studied. He was very good in math and stuff, and he just started his first year of apprenticeship. So I think he's making $14.12 an hour as a first-year apprentice, plus he has health care and everything, and that's a success story that we need to tout. So that's how one of the ways that I read that Cranes article and kind of related it on the local level is that the building trade unions, not only in Central Ohio but across the state of Ohio, are the ones that are training minorities. We have a higher percentage of minorities in our unions than any of the non-union or ABC sector. And I think that's important to note, and that's the message we're getting out to a lot of community leaders, that if they want to help some of their underprivileged or underserved communities and neighborhoods, the way to do that is to get them on a path to the middle class, and the way to do that is to get them into our programs. And then the Latino aspect, you know, here in Columbus, we're very fortunate because there's a lot of work right now, a lot of work going on, a lot of cranes, a lot of holes in the ground. Some of our busier locals right now are the painters, the drywall finishers, the cement masons, and the bricklayers. Now, obviously, on the non-union sector in Columbus and Central Ohio, because we're having an increasingly large Latino population, a lot of Latinos are doing some of that very physical labor, some of that work. And you go out late at night, you go out on Saturday, you go out on Sunday, and you walk onto non-union job sites, you know, whether it's a school, whether it's a small office building, a small hospital clinic, a restaurant, you know, a car wash, and you see a lot of these Latinos doing the brick work, the cement work, the finishing work, and they're not being paid properly. Sometimes they're being 1099 or misclassified, and they're really being taken advantage of. So we've reached out to a lady here that's on the Columbus City School Board. Her name's Ramona Reyes. She also runs the Guadalupe Center on the far west side of Columbus, where they do a lot of outreach and a lot of help with the Latino community. And we're working on with her right now and setting up a job fair so that way we can have members of the Latino community there, as long as our building trades leaders and Ramona, to kind of do some recruiting and some outreach to these young adults to let them know, you know, that they may be taken advantage of working for some of these open shop non-union or even unscrupulous contractors that, you know, they're not paying them overtime, they're not giving them health benefits. You know, I know when I became business manager of the Insulators in 2003, we were very successful in reaching out to the Latino community and having some Hispanics come into our local that are still there. And I tell you what, there was one young man that came in and his wife worked, but she didn't have insurance. He had a job working in the non-union sector and he didn't have insurance, and they had four children. And when he came in, I mean, the wages were great, and he loved the fact that he was making more money, but he was so happy to have that health insurance. That was a huge, you know, huge opportunity for him and his family, and it really helped him financially.
You saw that figure about the, you mentioned health insurance, and what stood out was that 53% of the construction industry workers have health insurance. Now, we know you're going to have health insurance if you're unionized, but that just shows you how much the non-union sector is taking part of this industry right now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you think about that. I mean, you know, I'm not putting down any other profession or anything, but you think about that. An office worker or an accountant or somebody, their chances of being hurt or injured on the job or suffering some work-related injury is far less than a guy who's pouring concrete.
Oh, yeah.
Or laying brick, or an iron worker who's climbing every day. You know, our jobs are very physical, very demanding. You know, our guys obviously take care of themselves, try to stay in shape so that way they can do the work that they do. But, you know, it's just the constant, you know, pounding every day that comes from working construction, you know, climbing ladders, you know, standing on concrete, being in the heat, being in the cold, you know. Thinking of doing this profession, building trades construction worker, and not having health insurance, that is shocking to me. And how a contractor or how a customer would hire a contractor who doesn't provide health insurance to their people, that's just, you know, that's crazy. That would be like me letting you drive my car and you don't have car insurance. I would never do that. I would never do that. It makes no sense, you know?
You won't like the way I drive anyway. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit. There's another story circulating. Lane Chow, who used to be the labor secretary, and she was not very friendly to labor as labor secretary, but she's now in transportation. She was Trump's pick. And she just announced that she is backing prevailing wage, Davis-Bacon prevailing wage, in any infrastructure that Trump comes up with. Now, we don't have any plans on all this, but as you well know, there's the right wing. One of them is Steve King out of Iowa. He's a Tea Party guy. He wants to kill Davis-Bacon. He wants to put an end to it. He says the law is it needs to be done. Let me put it that way.
And I've been reading that, and I was pleasantly surprised that she's supporting keeping Davis Bacon, but I'm also very happy because I know we've talked about it in the past on your show. You know, this $1 or $2 or maybe even $3 trillion infrastructure spending bill that the president's been talking about even before he took office. And I know he met with Sean McGarvey and leaders of the building trades, I think the Monday after he was sworn in, would be a huge boon for the economy, but also it'd be a huge boon for the building trades, but also the communities. You know, you see some of these, even the cities, I guess, that are doing well, but especially the rural communities throughout some of these states where roads and infrastructure and bridges are beyond repair. If we could do this and keep Davis Bacon so the most highly skilled, highly trained, safest workers are doing this work, I think it would be great.
I just have to reflect back to Bush, George W. Bush, back when Katrina happened, which was, I believe, 12 years ago. He suspended Davis Bacon when they were trying to rebuild New Orleans. And I got some numbers on that. All IBEW members out of their jobs, cut rate contractors, imported minimum wage construction workers, sometimes from Mexico. There was probably a number of illegals that they brought in as well. Since prevailing wage laws, and this is according to the Construction Council, since prevailing wage laws particularly affect low-income construction workers, the absence of the protections pushes the most vulnerable of our society into poverty. And the quote is, if all 25 states with prevailing wage laws today weaken or outright repeal their statutes, an additional 99,000 blue-collar construction workers would see their incomes fall below the poverty level. 319,000 would lose their health insurance coverage, 124,000 would lose pension coverage, and 102,000 would be forced to rely on food stamps. I mean,
wow.
You think about what lawmakers want to do, and Sherrod Brown says it all the time, it's a race to the bottom.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Cut those wages down, cut the benefits. I mean, what are they trying to do here, Dorsey?
I don't know, and I can't understand the conservative argument for cutting wages and benefits because, you know, they're all for lower taxes, and if you have people making a better wage, then they're obviously paying a higher percentage in taxes, which helps, you know, the economy and helps the tax structure. So I don't understand what they're trying to do. And Congressman King in Iowa, I'm just, you know, I would like to read up some more on him and see where this is coming from, if it's coming from constituents in his district or if he just believes that, you know. I don't know. You know, a lot of times on the local level when we find state reps or state senators, you know, who are interested in cutting prevailing wage, it's one of two reasons. It's one, because they're ignorant and they don't understand how beneficial it is, so they need to be educated, which I think we've done a good job and are doing an even better job of doing that. Or it's because of two, which is in the case of Senator Matt Huffman up in Lima, they're pandering. They're pandering to their base and their community to keep getting themselves elected. And, you know, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, subscribe to the GOP talking points, pretty much.
Exactly. And ALEC and the huge push with ALEC and the Koch brothers, who are going to step up their fight to try to make these other 25 states right-to-work states like you've discussed.
Race to the bottom. All right, we have to take a quick break. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line. We're going to get a construction update from Central Ohio in a minute or two. Also, Russ Choma, Mother Jones Magazine, talking about Trump and ethics. It's a good one. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. So you shortened your website a little bit. Is it now, what is it, columbusconstruction.org? Is that correct?
Yeah, columbusconstruction.org. We've revamped our website, tried to tie it in some of the marketing and outreach that we're doing. We're seeing benefits out of it already, I think, as we're educating people. I know in the past on your show we talked about the MOU that we got with the Franklin County Jail. We're in the final stages. I'm actually got to review some language this morning and got sent off to the city of Columbus today. But we're reviewing language for a community benefit agreement that's going to tie into a lot of what we talked about earlier on your show. Community outreach, targeted recruitment, especially in some of the neighborhoods in Columbus that are underserved. But we're looking at community benefit agreements to help the city, to get some of these people into our programs and help them as well. So the website kind of ties into all that. And I'll tell you an interesting story. You know, we talked about this on your show. We had a Columbus City Schools job fair last year where we had about 285 kids, we had some parents, also some young adults, and we were able, it's great because we were able to expose a lot of the kids to our programs and show them the opportunities that are in front of them. But there was also some parents there who actually had some background, had some experience, maybe were even working for some open shop contractors that were not making the industry standard, and they were able to sign up with some of our programs and start the very following Monday, so it was really good. So a lot of the TV stations in Columbus, some of the newspapers covered it, and then we also did a blog on our website. So there's a young lady in Pickaway County, it's one county south of Columbus, that was kind of going through and doing Google search, and she stumbled across this blog. So she called me, just cold called me one day and wanted me to come down to her office. And, you know, of course, I did some research on her, saw economic development, and took the opportunity to meet with her, not knowing what we were meeting about. So I go down there, and this was a lady who's in a red conservative hotbed, you know, Republican hotbed, pretty anti-union area of the state, but also an area of the state that has high unemployment, low wages. I think that she told me that at the local high school, one out of every two kids at the local high school is on, you know, the free lunch program. So obviously it's a community that is in need of some economic help. And she said, listen, she said, our kids who go to school in this county, they go to college, or if they don't, they go on welfare or they work in fast food. She goes, we got to have something else. She goes, do you think you can help me with this? And I said, absolutely we can. So I educated her on our programs, started from A to Z, let her know what we do and how we can help and how we can recruit some of these kids and give them opportunities. And I'm also tying it in to the work and stuff that's in Pickaway County that we've talked about in the past, because it's amazing how this county has exploded with development and industrial work. Sofidil, which is an Italian tissue maker, is building a plant there. NTE Energy is looking at building a two-cycle gas plant there. And now the latest that we've heard is that Pickaway County is in the final three, two other cities from across the state, or I'm sorry, across the country, in the final three for a major Apple manufacturing facility that they say would bring as much as $2 to $3 billion worth in investments.
Nice.
So that's, you know, I know we've talked about this before on your show, but that's the message. Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, moderate, whatever, that mm-hmm. they all understand is the building trades model is you go to school, you get paid while you learn, there's no taxpayer assistance, good wage, health benefits, and it's like she said, if all this work is going on in our community, I want our kids and young adults in this community doing that work. I don't want people from Kentucky. I don't want people from Indiana. I want people from Circleville, Pickaway County, Hayes Valley High School, Westfall High School, those are the kids I want graduating, getting these jobs and doing this work. How do we help train them so that they're the ones that are doing the work on these jobs?
Yeah. Yeah, hire local. That's what it's all about. And prevailing wage.
That's right. That's exactly right.
There it goes. There it goes. So I'm reading good things. You hinted about the holes in the ground and the cranes in the air. That's a good
thing.
It's
amazing. I mean, not since 2000 have I seen the city of Columbus and Franklin County experience a boom in construction like they have. In 2000, we had the LTV Steel. We had the Ohio Stadium remodel. And then you couple that with all the school work and stuff like that that we had, and some of the work at Ohio State as well. Right here, right now, we've got the Covelli Center at Ohio State. It's going to be a 4,200-seat arena for Olympic sports like wrestling and men's and women's volleyball and stuff. We've got the Millennial Tower, which is going to be a 29-story tower downtown. It's going to be mixed-use condos, light commercial, restaurants and stuff. We've got another tower called the Short North Tower, which anybody that's been to Columbus has been to the Short North Market. It's a huge facility with different restaurants and stuff. One of my favorites, Hot Chicken Takeovers, in there. They're going to build a tower there, and that's going to be very similar. Mixed use, where condos, residential, some apartments, and then also you'll have your Short North restaurants in the bottom there, along with parking and stuff. There's two more proposed towers, smaller, like 13-story towers, proposed for Franklinton, which is a neighborhood just west of downtown that would give great sight lines of the city and stuff. There's $2 billion worth of commercial reinvestment going on at the side of the peninsula. So there's commercial work going on everywhere. And then, you know, like I said, you throw in some of the work at Ohio State with the dorms, the Covelli Arena, some of their updated athletic facilities that they want to do. You couple that with the Franklin County Jail, which will probably be breaking ground here in early to mid-fall. You know, we have Sofidel and Pickaway County. We have, you know, we'll have this community benefit agreement on Fire Station 35 for the city of Columbus, which will probably break ground after the summer. It's just everywhere you go, everywhere you look. The Amazon facilities are still adding on buildings to the existing sites where we built data centers and buildings before. It's just, like I said, I haven't seen it. Every meeting we had, I had a business manager call me yesterday, and it's just amazing how our managers and agents are spending a huge portion of their time right now recruiting from the non-union to fill positions, but also, you know, bringing in more and more apprentices, growing their numbers, growing their ranks in order to meet these manpower demands and needs.
Dorsey, I always say this, it sounds like the needle's going in the right direction down there, and we appreciate that. Hey, you know what? I'm on your website right now, and I'll tell you, one of the greatest things I'm seeing right now is the link to our website here, awfradio.com.
I forgot to mention the best part. That's right. My wife thinks that's the best part, too. You can click on our website anytime you want and hear my voice and your voice.
There you go. I love it.
That's exactly right. So I did forget to mention that, though, but you're right. One of our contractor representatives called me asking about a certain subject the other day. I can't remember exactly what it was, and I remember you and I talked about it on one of our interviews, and I said, hey, go to the website, click on this, go to there, and you'll hear me talk about it. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that is, you know, what a great idea. That's very interesting. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll drive some traffic for each of us, you know?
I like that. Okay, buddy. Well, you keep up the fight down there. It sounds like everything is going in the right direction. We appreciate that here in Northeastern Ohio. Maybe some of that will move up here, too.
I hope so. I hope so.
Okay, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you in a month.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one, Flash.
All right. Dorsey Hager at our Liveline. That new website, the domain is columbusconstruction.org, columbusconstruction.org. Quick break. Russ Choma, Mother Jones Magazine, coming up next. You are listening to America's Workforce.